Good morning. How are you? Good. I hope everybody is doing well. If you have a Bible, you can turn it to 2 Corinthians chapter 11. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. This morning we will be continuing our study in the book of 2 Corinthians, chapter by chapter, verse by verse. It's been said, only a whole Bible can make a whole Christian, so let's study the Bible together. Amen. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Will you join me in praying for God's blessing? Lord, we thank you again for this morning, for your promise to us, for your word that you have given to us, Lord, to equip us, to help us, to strengthen us, to comfort us, to sanctify us, Lord. And I pray this morning that your word would go forth in power and that it would do exactly what you said it would, that it would change our lives, change our hearts. We pray that your spirit would give us ears to hear what you have to say to us this morning. We pray for your blessing and for your anointing. In Jesus' name, amen. When Jesus was on this earth, he had a group of followers that were with him all of the time. 12 of them, to be exact. They were called the 12 disciples. Do you remember them? There was Matthew, a tax collector, Peter, and the others who were fishermen. And he had these guys with him at all times, and often he would take them, and he would talk to them personally. And many times he would tell them stories. He would use illustrations from nature to explain a very important truth. One time he took his disciples aside and he talked to them and he said to them these words. He said, "Beware of false prophets. Beware of false prophets." And he gave them an example of what a false prophet is like. He said, they're like a wolf. Have you ever seen a wolf here today? You know what it is, though. It's like a dog, except meaner. Bigger. Teeth are longer. It's like a wolf. And a wolf, they like to eat other animals. They don't eat carrots. They don't eat matoke. They don't eat cassava. They don't eat Irish potatoes. They eat other meat, other animals. One of the favorite dishes of a wolf, in case you didn't know, is sheep. Wolves, they love to eat sheep. And Jesus said this, "Beware of false prophets, they're like wolves, coming to you in sheep's clothing." And then he went on to say, there in Matthew chapter 7, "You will know them by their fruits." Wolves, I don't know if any of you have seen the cartoon, this children's cartoon of the wolf on top of the hill. And the wolf is looking down at the pasture of green grass, and there in the pasture there are many sheep grazing, eating. And the wolf, he knows that if he goes down there, if he walks up, "Hello, how are you doing?" the sheep are going to go away. The sheep are going to take one look at the wolf, they're going to run away. The wolf will never be able to get his sheep. So this is what the wolf does. He's very clever, this wolf. He takes the skin of a sheep and he puts the skin of the sheep on top of himself. Covers his legs, his face, his back, his tail. Covered with the covering of a sheep's skin. Then the wolf comes down from the mountain, down into where the sheep are. But here's the thing. The sheep don't know it's a wolf. They think it's a sheep. It looks like a sheep. It talks like a sheep. It sounds like a sheep. They think it's another sheep. Until one day they find that the flock or the herd, whatever the sheep are in, is getting smaller. You find some of your sheep friends are missing. You find They go with this special sheep over the mountain, and then only the special sheep comes back, the one with... And that wolf in sheep's clothing, he is telling those other sheep, come over here with me, this is better, this is good. There's good grass over here, you come with me, and the sheep will follow the wolf in sheep's clothing, and they won't return. And Jesus said this, Matthew chapter 7, beware of false prophets. They are like wolves in sheep's clothing. You know what that means? You don't know they're there. They stand in pulpits all around the world in churches. Some of them have television programs. Some of them have radio programs. Some of them write books. Some of them teach at conferences. And I'm telling you, the message today, and Paul is going to make it very clear in chapter 11, there are false prophets, there are false apostles, there are false teachers, and they look just like sheep, according to Jesus. Let's read in our text, 2 Corinthians chapter 11. We'll read verses 1 through 4. Paul here is writing to the church at Corinth, and really what he is doing in this entire chapter is he is explaining that those teachers they had in Corinth were false teachers, were false apostles. And he was giving examples from his own life. And he says in verse 1, oh, that you would bear with me in a little folly. And indeed, you do bear with me. Folly means foolish, foolishness. Verse 2, for I am jealous for you with godly jealousy. For I have betrothed you to one husband that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. But I fear, lest somehow as the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, so your minds may be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. For if he who comes preaches another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if you receive a different spirit which you have not received, or a different gospel which you have not accepted, you may well put up with it. In these opening verses, Paul is declaring to the church there that there is a serious problem. There is a serious issue that they must deal with. You see, Paul had planted the church years earlier. He was a missionary and a true apostle. He planted the church and then he went to preach the gospel in another area, planted other churches throughout the known world at the time. Paul had planted that church and he left the oversight of the church to certain pastors there in Corinth. And he had been gone for some time, and as he is writing this letter back, those pastors who were there at the church were actually speaking bad things about Paul. They were preaching a different message than what Paul had preached. They were teaching something different than what God had given to them, the Word of God. Paul was preaching the Word of God. He was used by the Holy Spirit to write it for us here. And these guys, these apostles, they claimed that they were apostles. They were not, as Paul is going to show in the end of this chapter. They claimed that they were true. They claimed that they had the real teaching about God, about what God does, about Christianity, about Jesus. And Paul is writing this letter, and he is saying, please bear with me in a little foolishness. He's going to actually boast about his credentials, his calling as an apostle compared to those who were false. And he says, I have betrothed you to Christ. You know what that means? We are the bride of Christ. How many of you are married here today? Raise your hand. How many of you are not married? All right. You're not married. That's a joke we have, me and Josh. Paul is saying, I have betrothed you to Christ. What Paul is speaking about here is he was as a spiritual father to the church there. And in that day, in that culture, the practice of marriage was that the father would give away his daughter in marriage to whomever the father chose. Arranged marriages and things. And Paul is saying, I'm as a father and I have given you to Christ. Christ is our husband. Did you know that Christ, that Jesus is our husband? We are the church. We are the bride of Christ. He is our husband. And when he comes to receive us, we're going to have the marriage supper. We're going to be together. We're sort of in the engagement period now. And Paul is saying, I have betrothed you to Christ, and I want to present you as a chaste virgin. The father wanted to present his daughter as a chaste virgin, meaning she had no other relationships with any other man. And Paul is saying, you as the church, I want to present you to Christ as a pure virgin, but there are people that are there who are taking your heart away. There are teachers who are drawing your heart away from Christ and into their own false teaching, which is another gospel. And you may be thinking this morning, well, that's fine and good for the church at Corinth 2,000 years ago. But are there false prophets and false apostles today? False teachers today? We know the answer to that question from Jesus' words in Matthew chapter 24. In the last days, many false Christ and false prophets will arise, and they will deceive many. We're living in the last days. And so this message, I think, is for us. There are wolves in the body of Christ, not just here. I mean, the body of Christ worldwide. Jesus said he has one flock. We're all part of it. Whether we go to Calvary Chapel or KPC or wherever, we're all part of the body of Christ together. But within the body of Christ, there are certain teachers, and they are false prophets, false apostles, false teachers, and they have sharp teeth. And they're wearing a sheep clothing. And they say, bah. That's what a sheep says. They are here. And Paul is warning the church at Corinth, but this word this morning is to us. Are you ready to hear the warning? Are you ready to receive what the Word of God says? We are the bride of Christ, and Paul was concerned that our heart was being taken away to another teaching. Notice this. In verse 3, I fear lest somehow as the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, so your minds may be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. Satan is the one who wants us to go away from Christ. Amen? Satan is the one who wants to take us away from Christ. And do you know how he does it? He doesn't come to you with an ugly face, sharp teeth, a pitchfork, a long tail, in a red suit. Have you ever seen him? Picture of Satan. He doesn't come to you with fire and mean words. Come follow me, I'm Satan. And then we say, okay. His strategy has been the same ever since the very beginning. Satan is no fool. He knows you're not going to follow him if he has blood dripping out of his mouth and a pitchfork and a long tail. And Paul is saying, just as the serpent deceived Eve, he uses deception. Do you know what deception is? It means this: you think it is true, but in reality it is false. You think what the person is teaching is true, but in reality, according to God's word, this is true. Jesus said, this is truth. This is true. And the teaching that comes out is different than this, but we think that's true. That's deception. And Satan used it in the beginning with Eve. Jesus said about Satan, John chapter 8, verse 44, speaking actually to false teachers of the day, the false religious leaders, he said, you are of your father, the devil. Wow. And the desires of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and he does not stand in the truth, because there is no truth in him. And when he speaks a lie, he is speaking from his own resources. That means he's speaking his own language. For he is a liar and the father of it. I speak English as my first language. I try to learn Luganda, but it seems I just keep failing. I'm trying though. Some of us speak different languages. Do you know what language Satan speaks? Speaks lie. language. That means every word out of his mouth is a lie or meant to deceive you with it. And you may be thinking, well, I'll never believe Satan, because when he comes, he's going to have a pitchfork, a long tail, and sharp teeth. I'll know. So I won't believe him. No, no, no. He sends prophets, apostles, pastors in the Christian church to speak on his behalf. Amen. True ministers of Christ, pastors here in Kampala, we are called to preach on Christ's behalf. The message of God, the message of Christ, the word of God. Satan also has messengers, and they are called to speak on his behalf, and some of them are deceived themselves, but he is a deceiver. Satan uses false teachers to spread his deception. They preach a different message than what God has given us in his word. Notice Paul says they preach about a different Jesus. They preach a different gospel. They're preaching a different message than what God has already given. And Paul says in another place, Galatians chapter 1, verse 8, he says, but even if we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel to you than what we have preached to you, let him be accursed. Did you hear what he said? Even if we, speaking of apostles, or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel than what you have received, this is what we have received. The faith once and for all given to the saints, says in Jude. If any other person, any other being, anything else preaches another gospel, let them be accursed. Do you know what that word accursed means? Damned to hell. That is a strong language Paul uses about false teachers. Do you know why he uses that language? Because he knows the damage that false teachers can do. Damage. Some have even shipwrecked in their faith. He says in the letter he wrote to Timothy, 1 Timothy. And false teaching is damaging. I have experienced people who have been damaged by false teaching. Death has occurred from false teaching. There was one church in America that was completely destroyed by a false teacher. A person came in and he preached a very popular message today in the church. He preached that if you have faith, then you will be healed regardless of what God's purpose is for you. And he said, the proof of your faith, if you truly have faith in God, you will pray, you will fast, you will do all these things, but you will not take them to the doctor because that proves you don't have faith. Have you heard that message? That is 100% false teaching. And the pastor of the church, his wife was sick with cancer. And the doctors told him, if she has this operation, she will be well. She will be better. She just needed to have an operation. Because of the false teaching that the church had believed, because of the false teaching that the pastor believed was from God, he said, no, we are going to put our faith in God that she will be healed. We will not take her to the doctor. His wife died not too many months later. And the church was split, the church was destroyed, because they didn't understand the truth of God's word and they believed a lie. It's a serious thing. That's just one example. There are many. That was just the physical damage. Of course, they were still saved. They had their faith in the true Jesus. That was just a certain false teaching that was popular then. But there is other false teaching that will damage your soul. Preaching about a different Jesus, a different gospel. In 1 John chapter 4, verse 1, it says, beloved, and this is a command by God, by the way, beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. You may know this, you may not know this, but out there in the church, worldwide, there are many false prophets. A false prophet doesn't go to the mosque to preach. A false prophet doesn't go to the Hindu temple to preach. A false prophet, do you know where they go to preach? right here where I'm standing. Hopefully not right here where I'm standing, but in pulpits. And the Bible says this to us, do not believe every spirit. When someone says to you, I had a revelation from a spirit, they say, the Spirit of God, God told me that you need to do this, this, and this. The Bible commands you and it commands me, do not believe them. Test what they say. Test what they say. Test what I say. I'm one of they, okay? I'm a pastor. And God's Word commands you to test the things that I am saying here this morning. Don't believe me just because I'm a pastor. Some of you are thinking, that's easy. You're a young guy. We are called to test the things. Paul spoke of a church in the book of Acts. It was a certain people called the Bereans. Have you heard of them? And he went and preached the gospel in this certain town, and there were the Bereans there, a group of people. And he said about the Bereans, they were more noble than any of the others that I preached to. Noble means they did the best thing. They're more noble. Do you know what they did? Paul, the apostle, we know him. He came there to preach, but they didn't know him, and he preached the message from God, and do you know what they did right when he was finished? They went home with their Bibles, and they opened up their Bibles, and they said, is that true? Paul said this, is that true? Paul said they were more noble than anybody else because they searched the Scriptures to see if the things that I said were true. The first sign, or a sign, I shouldn't say the first, of a false prophet is when they tell you this is from God and don't question it. Do you know why I know that's false? Because God's Word says question. Question it. Test the prophets to see whether they are of God, it says in the Bible. Test the spirits. Test all things and hold fast to what is good, the Bible says. When you come up to me after service and you say something like, Pastor, you said this, but actually in the Bible I was reading and I saw that it says something different. I praise God. I rejoice. And I change. And we are all called to be Bereans. Amen. In verse 5, 2 Corinthians chapter 11, Paul continues in his warning, in his discussion, for I consider that I am not at all inferior to the most eminent apostles. Your Bible translation may say super apostles. He's kind of joking about these apostles there in the church. They call themselves super apostles. Verse 6, even though I am untrained in speech, yet I am not in knowledge, but we have been thoroughly manifested among you in all things. A couple of things about false apostles here in this passage. Paul said, there are these super apostles. Have you ever heard of a super apostle in the world today? A crusade is coming into town, and then the biggest word, apostle, so-and-so. And you think, wow, a super apostle. That's a man of God. He is better than everybody else. That's kind of what goes through my mind when I see it. Wow. Apostle so-and-so. Wow. And they were there in Corinth. They are taller than the rest. Their shoulders are wider than the rest. Their suits are nicer than the rest. Their Bibles are bigger than the rest. And when they walk in the room, you know there's a super apostle. Paul's saying, I am not inferior to the super apostles that you have there in the church. He was joking. Those super guys. The big man. The big chief apostle. I'm not inferior to them, he says. He's claiming his authority, though he says it's foolish because we shouldn't at all boast. He was doing it for their sakes, though. He says, I'm untrained in speech, yet I am not in knowledge. Notice this about super apostles. They are very good speakers. Very good. When you listen to them, your heart leaps within you. Oh, yes. They speak some words, oh, like sweet morsels coming in. They speak so well. The word that you use is eloquent. And Paul says, I don't speak very well. Paul wasn't a good preacher. He was a good preacher, but he wasn't a good orator. His words sometimes came out sloppy. That word actually is rude. His words were a bit low. So if he came in here today, we have the Apostle Paul preaching at Calvary Chapel. And he would be up here and you would come in and you would see him and you would think, that's the Apostle Paul? He was a shorter guy. His head was bald, they say. These are historians around the time after Christ. Hooked nose. He's kind of funny looking. And when he started to preach, he would teach, but you would think, some of you would agree, like this. That happens to me when I teach sometimes. People agree. He wasn't anything spectacular when you would hear him preach. He preached normally. He said, I didn't have eloquence of speech, but do you know what he did have? He did have the power of the Holy Spirit in his words. In 1 Corinthians it says, I did not come to you with the excellency of preaching like these other guys, but with the demonstration of the Spirit and of power. When you heard him, your ears might not be happy, but your heart would be happy. There's a story of a dinner party that they were having. And they invited some very prominent guests. One of the guests was a famous movie star, film star. They also invited a certain pastor from a small church in the town. He was just a normal guy. And before the dinner, the movie star was asked to say something nice for the people. And so, he actually decided to quote the 23rd Psalm, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want," he said. And everybody was like, oh, what wonderful speech. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. Just nice sounding words. And after he was done, they applauded. Oh, did you hear how well he did that? His speech was like nice flowing sounding words. And then the host of the party insisted. He heard the 23rd Psalm. He knew that there was a pastor there. This small pastor. Small church. Small town. Normal guy. He wasn't dressed as nice as the others. The host said, Pastor, would you please say something for us also? And this normal guy stood up and he said the 23rd Psalm. Just as the man before him had said it. Only his words were not as nice sounding. But there, the guests at the party, there was a silence. There was a silence and there was a respect for the things that were being said. And there was a power in the words that were being spoken. And after the dinner party, the famous film star came up to the pastor and he says, I know the psalm, but you know the shepherd. I know the psalm, but you know the shepherd. Because it was coming from his heart. And Paul was the same way. He said, I'm not a great speaker like these super apostles, but I have the knowledge. I know Christ. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 3 says, For the times will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. That's teaching. Good teaching. True teaching. But according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth, and they will be turned aside unto fables. Did you see what the Bible said? A time will come when they will not listen to true doctrine anymore. Talking about the church, us. They will not listen to good teaching, true teaching anymore, but they have itching ears. Do you know what that means? They want their ears to be tickled. Ah. They want nice sounding things to come in. They don't want to hear about anything that's going to be bad. They just want to hear about good things. What can I get? What are you going to tell me that's going to make me happy? They will not endure. They won't sit under true teaching, but only those people who are going to tell them what they want to hear. What do you want to hear? God is going to give you $1 million. That's what I want to hear. You're going to be the richest man in Kampala. Oh, I'm coming back to that pastor. It was the same in Paul's day. He continues in verse 7, "Did I commit sin in humbling myself that you might be exalted because I preached the gospel of God to you free of charge?" He's going to talk about money here. A big issue with false apostles, false teachers is money. In verse 8, "I robbed other churches, taking wages from them to minister to you." What Paul did while he was at Corinth, he never made a collection for himself. Okay? He didn't take any money from the church at Corinth. None. Not even one shilling. He didn't talk about money before his message and then talk about money after his message. He says, in fact, this church, he's going to talk about it, in Macedonia, they are supporting me. He says it's like I'm robbing them because I'm not there preaching. It is right, biblically, or allowable for a congregation to support their pastor. In some ways, I'm as Paul in this situation. I'm not supported myself by this congregation. I'm supported by a church in the United States. But Paul is saying, I'm supported by this other church, yet I'm not there ministering. It's like I'm taking from them. I'm not even there giving spiritual things, giving the Word of God there, but they're giving to me. And he says in verse 9, "And when I was present with you and in need, I was a burden to no one. For what I lacked, the brethren who came from Macedonia supplied, and in everything I kept myself from being burdensome to you, so that I will keep myself." Do you know what he said there? When I was in need, when I didn't have any food, I didn't come and ask money from the church, because he didn't want to be a burden. Do you see the heart of a true apostle, a true prophet, a true teacher? He doesn't want to be a burden upon the people. Let's continue this short passage, then we'll talk about the difference. Verse 10, "As the truth of Christ is in me, no one shall stop me from this boasting in the reasons of Achaia," the boasting about how he doesn't do it for money. "Why? Because I do not love you? God knows. But what I do, I will also continue to do, that I may cut off the opportunity from those who desire an opportunity to be regarded just as we are in the things of which they boast." Basically, what he just said there was this. The reason why I don't take money is because I don't want people to say that I am doing it for money. Do you know why Paul preached the gospel? Do you know why he was an apostle? Do you know why he was a prophet? Do you know why he was a teacher? Because he loved Christ. Because he knew that Christ had loved him and loved everybody else, and he wanted to spread the message, and he didn't want people to accuse him of doing it for money. Do you know what the number one accusation that I've heard against the church is? Number one reason most of the time why people don't want to be Christians? Maybe you've heard it. They say this: all of your pastors want money. And I know why they think that. All you have to do is turn on television. You get your notepad out. You can use the back of your bulletin. You can bring it home. You get your pen, and you write down a check for every time you hear about money. You're going to need to get a bigger piece of paper. And I say that because I hate what people are doing in the name of Christ. I hate the fact that these false teachers, these false prophets, these false apostles are taking advantage of the church. It makes me angry. And it made Paul angry too. There's a story, you may find this amusing. You may either find it amusing or saddening, probably both. There's a little publication called Our Daily Bread. Some of you may know it. It has daily readings for our spiritual growth. And in our daily bread, Sunday, August 31st, it speaks about a pastor, a preacher who was described in a news article. It says this about this preacher. It says, "You can now buy blessings on the installment plan." An evangelist and faith healer who often lectures in this area is now offering 12 monthly blessings for $84. Under his plan, those wanting him to pray for them can fill out a coupon and mail $7 each month for 1 year to the post office boxes in the United States or Canada. "Write us every month and tell us what you need from God," says the evangelist. He promises to pray for those who pay and hints that his prayers have brought others financial rewards. With the first installment comes a blessing certificate to hang on your wall with your first payment. With the second comes an anointed billfold, an anointed wallet that he has prayed over for prosperity. And then at the end of the article it says, by the way, there is no money back guarantee. Sign up today. Each month you give me 10,000 shillings and I'll pray for you. Can you imagine Jesus saying something like that? "Will you pray for me, Jesus?" "Yes, but first give me 10,000 shillings. In fact, you can pay me monthly. I'll pray for you every month." We laugh at those kind of things here this morning. But I'm going to tell you something. This type of thing is happening here in Kampala. And the reason why it is happening is because some of us, just like the Corinthian church, are bearing with it. They believe it. One man said, "The way that you can get someone to believe something is just to make it so preposterous, so outstanding, that you think no one will believe it, and then people will believe it." False apostles, false prophets, false teachers, they want to get our money. Okay? False apostles do not have the truth. Verse 10, Paul says, "The truth of Christ is in me, and no one shall stop me from boasting in the regions of Achaia." False apostles are deceitful workers of Satan. Let's read on in verse 13. "For such are false apostles." These are the guys we're talking about here. The wolves in sheep's clothing. "Such are false apostles, deceitful workers. They are transforming themselves into apostles of Christ, and no wonder, for Satan himself transforms himself into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also transform themselves into ministers of righteousness, whose end will be according to their works." Wow. Did you hear what that said there? They are false apostles, but not only that, they are ministers of Satan. Ministers of Satan. No wonder they transform themselves into apostles of Christ. Because Satan transforms himself into an angel of light. When you see Satan, if he ever appears to you, you're not going to think, "Ah!" You're not going to turn your face away because he's so grotesque and scary and frightening. He's not. Satan, before he fell, was the most beautiful of God's creation. He is called the anointed cherub. He was glorious in his appearance. And he transforms himself into an angel of light, and you like it. You like him. You like his teaching. That's why people follow false teaching, because it looks good. Sounds so good. Looks so good. An angel of light. So, as Paul said in another place, even if the roof opened up here, and down came, floated this glorious white, glowing creature, an angel, and all of us said, "Oh, how beautiful," and then the angel starts to preach about a different Jesus, don't believe him. Don't believe him. Even if the guy is wearing the nicest suit and driving the nicest car and speaking the nicest sounding words, if he's not preaching these words, don't believe him. Do you agree? false apostles will be judged according to their works, it says in verse 15. And so we know that in the day of judgment, there are certain teachers who have a serious problem standing before the Lord, deceiving people. Verse 16, I say again, and let no one think me a fool, if otherwise at least receive me as a fool, that I may boast a little. What I speak not according to the Lord, but as it were, a foolishly, in this confidence of boasting. So what Paul is going to do here with the rest of the chapter, he's already talked about how he's not like the false apostles, how they do these things. Now he's going to talk about his credentials. Do you know what a credential is? If you're going to get a job, you want to bring a piece of paper with you that tells the guy who's going to hire you what you are good at. What are your credentials, right? I went to the university. I went through this much schooling. I know how to do this. I know how to do that. Those are credentials. And Paul is saying, I'm going to do something foolish right now. I'm going to tell you my credentials, because before Paul said, we shouldn't boast except for in Christ crucified. We shouldn't boast. You shouldn't go around telling people how great you are. We talked about that the other week. But Paul is saying, for your sake, I'm going to boast a little about my credentials as an apostle. And so this is the calling of an apostle, what an apostle looks like. You want to see a true apostle? Paul is saying these are what a true apostle looks like right here. Verse 19, for you put up with fools gladly, since you yourself are wise. He's being sarcastic there. He's saying, you've got a bunch of fools, they're teaching you, and you listen to them, so listen to me for a few minutes. That's what he's saying. You can listen to the fool, now listen to me, even if you think I'm foolish. Verse 20, for you put up with it. If one brings you into bondage, if one devours you, if one takes from you, if one exalts himself, if one strikes you on the face. Do you see what these false teachers were doing? Remember the wolf in sheep's clothing? The wolf was devouring the sheep, and the rest of the sheep were just standing there. Oh. Oh no, there he devoured another one. Oh no. And then the wolf comes to you. Oh, he's coming for me. Paul's saying, there's a wolf. You just run away from the wolf. You don't let the wolf stay there with you, right? You don't let the wolf stay. They were devouring them. They were boasting of themselves. Verse 21, to our shame, I say that we are too weak for that. Meaning, he's shamed that they would listen to those boasting false prophets rather than himself. In whatever anyone is bold, I speak foolishly. I am bold also. And now he's going to give his credentials. Are they Hebrews? That was a qualification. Are they Hebrews? So am I. Are they Israelites? So am I. Are they the seed of Abraham? So am I. These were all things that they looked for in a teacher. Oh, he's a Hebrew. That means he is a man of God. Oh, he's an Israelite. Yeah, those are God's people. That's a man of God there. Are they ministers of Christ? In verse 23, I speak as a fool, I am more. And so, he's saying they are working for Christ? Yeah, but I'm working for Christ more than they are. Speaking as a fool, because he knows it's foolish to say such things. In labors more abundant. Okay, here's the qualifications of an apostle. In labors more abundant. In stripes above measure. Do you know what that means? Whippings. Paul was beaten. In prisons more frequently, in deaths often. There was a time when they took Paul out of the city and they stoned him with stones. And of course he was in prison. Verse 24, from the Jews 5 times I received 40 stripes minus one. In the Jewish religion they would whip the person with a whip. And the law only allowed for 40 lashes. And so they wanted to keep the law, and they didn't want to go over, so they had to only do 39, just so they could have an extra in case they miscounted. So 5 times he was beat that way. 3 times I was beaten with rods. This isn't like what it used to be like in primary school where they take a stick and beat you. They would take a big stick and really beat you. That's illegal, by the way, here. 3 times I was beaten with rods. If you've ever been hit with a rod by someone who doesn't like you, you know it doesn't feel good. Once I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. Have you ever been on a boat? Paul did a lot of traveling by boat. 3 times the boat was shipwrecked. He was floating around in the sea. A night and a day I have been in the deep. Meaning for a night and a day he was floating on a piece of wood out in the ocean. Because of his calling as an apostle. Because he was following Christ. In journeys, verse 26, often. In perils of water, in perils of robbers. By the way, peril means trouble. In perils of robbers, in perils of my own countrymen, in perils of the Gentiles, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness, in toil, in sleeplessness often, in hunger, in thirsting, in fasting often, in cold, in nakedness, besides the other things, what come upon me daily, my deep concern for all the churches. Wow. This guy had some serious trouble. This guy's life doesn't sound a lot like the life I'm hearing being preached from a lot of pulpits today. Come to Christ and you'll have a nice, happy life with a good house, always healthy, driving a nice car, and a good job. Let me ask you something. Was that Paul's life? No way. Success in Christianity. Listen to this. This is controversial. Success in Christianity and in preaching and in godliness is not measured by $10,000 suits and $50,000 cars. Success in Christianity is not measured by how many good, nice things you have. Success in Christianity is measured by our relationship with the Lord and our work for Him. And sometimes that work includes being beaten, being stoned, being shipwrecked, being hungry, being without a house, being naked. We have a brother here in the congregation this morning, this last week, his house burned down with all of his property inside. He was left with only one shirt and one trousers. And sometimes Christ is calling us to a life that is not the life of the Mercedes-Benz. Paul said this, I want to know Christ in the fellowship of His suffering. Fellowship of, that means Paul wasn't the only one. There was one who came before Paul that suffered too. Jesus. And what a contrast between Paul and Jesus and the other true apostles and the false prophets, the false apostles of that day. What a difference. Can you see the difference? Here comes Paul after being in the ocean for a day and a night on a board, walking up, only one pair of clothes that are ripped, walking into the back of the church, and here's some big man apostle with all of his nice things. Can you imagine what they must have thought about Paul? Oh, brother, why don't you sit back there? What a difference between his ministry and the ministry of the false apostles, and what a difference between many of the so-called apostles and prophets today. Who is weak, he says in verse 29, and am I not weak? Who is made to stumble, and I do not burn with indignation? It's meaning he's upset. Verse 30, if I must boast, I will boast in the things which concern my infirmity. You know what infirmity means? Is weakness. If I'm going to boast, I'm not going to boast about how much my suit cost. How much my private jet cost. I'm not going to boast about how much money I'm getting because I'm blessed by God. I'm not going to boast. I'm going to boast about my infirmity. My weakness. That the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, verse 31, who is blessed forever, knows that I am not lying. In Damascus, the governor under Aretas, the king, was guarding the city of Damascus with a garrison. He desired to arrest me, but I was let down in a basket through a window in the wall and escaped from his hands. One time, Paul was let down out of the window in a basket because the guy in the city wanted to kill him. Look at his life. That's what I want us to do this morning. That is exactly why God has this in chapter 11, is so we can look at the life of the Apostle Paul, and we can look at the difference between a true man of God and a man of God who is false. The big difference is the teaching, though. What's being taught. And so this morning, as we hear from God's Word, not necessarily a message that makes us happy and feel good. I pray that some of us don't have itching ears. They might not have been itched this morning. But God's Word is so good. Did you know that? God's Word is so good. And if we would live according to God's Word, our life will be better. Even if we're out in the ocean on a board, our life will be better. Amen. Do you believe that? Do you believe that your life can be good even if you are sick? Do you believe your life can be good even if the government comes against us or whatever may happen? Even if your house burns down, do you believe your life can be good? It can. Because the gospel of Jesus Christ runs deeper than what is on the outside. It goes into our hearts. And even though our outward circumstances may change, as they often will, on the inside we can have a peace that surpasses understanding. A peace that surpasses understanding. That means I don't understand why I'm so happy because all my things just got destroyed because of all these problems, but I am joyful in the Lord. Do you want that today? So do I. Why don't we stand together and we'll pray. Father, thank you so much for your Word. Oh Lord, help us to love it. Help us to obey it. Help us, Lord, to teach it, Lord. Teach it to others. Jesus, we pray, just as you prayed in John chapter 17, that you would sanctify us by your truth. Your Word is truth. Make us better, God. Help us. We're weak. Lord, we don't know when we're being deceived. We need you to help us. We need you to help us to keep from deception. Satan is the enemy of our souls, Lord. Help us. We need you. Pray that this morning you would bless your people. Bless them with a full and a wonderful relationship with you. In Jesus' name.